so just hang on to the phone and he'll be right with you, sir.
Okay, sir, can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Billy Don Smith, 111396.
Thank you, sir. And again, did you state your full name?
Billy Don Smith.
Okay, I just want to make sure that we have that on the record. You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for 31412A hearing to consider regular parole, absolute discharge, and home arrest. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. If you can see on the video conference screen, we'll begin with the opposite side of the bench working toward me. We have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. At the center of the bench, we have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for your hearing. I would like to begin this hearing with the following summary. Mr. Billy Smith, ADC number 111396, is 63 years old. On February 24th, 1995, Mr. Smith was found guilty by jury trial and sentenced to life imprisonment for murder in the first degree. This crime occurred on or about October 17, 1993. He was also convicted for child abuse, a dangerous crime against children, the 17-year prison term of which has since expired in 2010. Does this sound correct so far, Mr. Smith?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. He appealed his case, but his conviction was affirmed on July 1st, 1995. He had no prior criminal history. He will be eligible for regular parole, effective April 19, 2019. And again, Mr. Smith, we're hearing your case today, but you're scheduled early for a parole hearing, so regardless of how this board votes today, if you were granted regular parole or home arrest or absolute discharge, it would not be effective till April 19, 2019. I will read a short summary of the offense in question. On October 17, 1993, defendants Perry and Mr. Smith and the one-year-old daughter of Perry, the victim, were en route to Tucson when they stopped at Lake Fagan, approximately 45 miles east of Tucson in Pima County, Arizona. The victim was reported to have been sick with diarrhea and a fever for the preceding several days. 15 minutes after arriving at the lake, the victim was noticed to be lethargic, unresponsive, and not breathing. Perry began CPR, and Mr. Smith drove them to Tucson. According to Perry and Ralph, Smith reversed course to return to Benson, then reversed course again and went to Tucson and eventually Kino Hospital. The trip took 3 hours. Perry stated that Smith was hesitant to go to the hospital for fear of being arrested for child abuse. He drove to his parents' house in Oklahoma. Perry initially concocted his story to cover for Smith because he threatened to kill her if she told the authorities his name. And again, that's the short version of the case. And that's per the pre-sentencing report. According to Ames, he has received considerable programming in the Arizona Department of Corrections, but it appears he has not had recent activity. This is to say, you've had a lot of programming, but I didn't see anything in Ames that suggested you had any programming in the last few years. Is that correct, Mr. Smith?
No, sir.
That's what I was asking.
Give me 1 second.
Sure.
Oh, you're correct. The last programming was January 5th, 2015.
Okay, well, that's still much more recent than I saw my record. What program was that, sir?
Management.
Say that again, sir.
Money management.
Oh, money management. Thank you. Also, I should point out, according to the pre-sentence report, again, with the two charges being murder and the expired charge of adult slash child abuse, there was a note here in the pre-sentence report that stated that due to the infant's critical condition and signs of physical and sexual abuse, the Tucson Police Department was contacted by the hospital. Further medical exams revealed that the victim had multiple varying age bruises over her body, severe head trauma, rectal fissures, and recent retinal hemorrhaging. The fatal injuries and signs of acute penetration of the rectum were assessed to have been inflicted over the last 12 to 48 hours. So there was an indication of sexual abuse of the victim. Mr. Smith has a moderate history of discipline in the Department of Corrections from 1996 to 2016, with his last ticket on a major on April 4, 2016 for promoting prison contraband. And note, he has a pattern of threats, violence, and contraband inside the prison system. He has a release plan which includes requesting an interstate compact to Oklahoma where there's family support, while seeking employment, education, and counseling. This is his first hearing before the board. We have no letters of support in his parole packet. Mr. Smith, this is the board's first opportunity to get to know you. Can you tell us in your own words about the crimes that resulted in your incarceration and why you should be considered for supervised release? Thank you, sir.
Number one, if you read my case, I was illegally convicted of a crime that I did not commit. That's in the record books, and that's in black and white. And I was proven not to commit any of the things that I was accused of. That's also in the courts.
Well, sir, with respect to your case, I do have the record of an appeal from July 11th, 1996. And that appeal was affirmed by the courts. So you're talking about black and white issues in which that if you were legally convicted, I'm gonna go on the limb and state that you probably wouldn't be in prison right now. So do you have a pending action inside the courts right now regarding this case?
No, I don't.
So tell me about what court action suggested that you were legally convicted. And I ask that with respect.
Illegally convicted?
Is that what you said?
It's in the paperwork. It's
what?
On record.
Sir, that's kind of paperwork and record is kind of vague language. When someone says it's in the paperwork or in the record, I think you need to be a bit more specific than that. What record?
Okay. The record in Westlaw, it's a published case. It's a published opinion that has been published.
And did you provide a copy of that to the board?
I didn't know I was going to the board until like two Thursdays ago. Nobody told me anything. Well, I would have definitely sent you a copy of it.
Let me ask you this, sir, with respect to you and responsibilities from the Department of Corrections, did you think that about right now you would be coming before the board, meaning it's been 25 years since your conviction? Did you have an idea that you might be coming before the board sometime this year?
My understanding was that my date was set back to April 21st. And I was not informed to bring any paperwork until just recently, which is my educational certificates and my Bible study certificates.
Well, that brings up a good question, sir, and that is, if you feel that you weren't informed with enough time, did you have any community or family support that might have appeared or sent letters today?
They did before. My program and placement questionnaire was in place like 8 years ago. And the U.S. Marshal went to my mother and dad's house and my aunt and uncle's house, which is the two places for placement programs, for me to go home. And I have a job waiting at both places.
Well, sir, it would seem, if I look at the computation correctly, that you would not have been eligible for parole, the regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge till now, till around 25 years after you were convicted. So what are you talking about in terms of people making contact with your family 8 years ago?
I'm just doing what the Arizona Department of Corrections explained to me to do. I filled out the paperwork.
Do you still have family support out there, sir?
Yes, sir.
I mentioned that you had stated reference to family in Oklahoma. So who exactly is supporting you in Oklahoma?
My mother and dad, Bobby and Betty Elliott, and my uncle, Kenny Bryant, and Sarah Bryant. And my uncle sits on the Choctaw Council of the Choctaw Nation in the southeastern corner of Oklahoma.
Well, it's always positive to hear that people have family support. Do you have any community support or plans for living in a halfway house in between? You may or may not know this, but while it is your right to request interstate compact once you are released on regular parole or home arrest, it's still a request, and there is usually an interim period where the individual has to return to the community in Arizona. So did you have any plans for the in-between of possibly living in a halfway house or with any sort of support in Arizona, sir?
I have no support in Arizona but myself, but I am willing to work.
Have you sought out acceptance at any halfway houses, sir?
No, sir, I haven't.
Well, I cannot speak for the board, so to speak, or how the board would vote, as we all vote independently, but I certainly encourage you in the future to consider places to live in Arizona. Again, I recognize it's your plan to return to Oklahoma, but it is good to see a plan in place for the possibility of returning to the community in Arizona. It looks like that, as I stated in the summary, that you had a major ticket on April 4th, 2016, which was about 2.5 years ago for promoting prison contraband. So can you tell us about that case at all, sir, or that ticket?
Okay, in my spare time, I'm a certified mechanic, and what I do, I fix fans, headphones, TVs, just for the odds and ends to keep me busy. And what I had was basically a homemade screwdriver, and a regular screwdriver, a Phillips screwdriver, and then a screwdriver made to take out the safety screws out of the bands, try to get in there and fix the bands. That's what I do. I don't hang around with nobody, I keep to myself, and I fix things.
So I noticed that you also had some previous tickets for threats. I think one for fighting. Did you have one for fighting?
Never.
Well, it's probably important that I get specific here. Coming backwards, you also had a promoting prison contraband major in 2013, a refusal to program in 2012, a refusal to program in 2011, possession and manufacturing of a weapon in 2004, refusal to work in 2003, fighting in 2000, refusal to work in 2000, and I'm only citing the majors, and then some earlier threats. So it said 1999 threatened with harm, 1999 a separate threatened with harm. So it seems that you've had a few majors inside the Department of Corrections.
Okay, does anyone need a copy of that? Because I've never been in a fight since I've been in prison.
Well, sir, you can talk to your CO3 about reviewing your history. I'm going with what's been provided to us in Ames, and
okay. As
I routinely state, I have to take this information at face value, but I encourage you to talk to your CO3 if you have concerns about any tickets that you're not aware of or that you do not think coincide with your history.
Yes, you know, I've never refused a job.
I have never refused a job. I've always worked since day one. The most recent for refusing to program was on July 19, 2012. And that was guilty, and that was a major. Do you have any recollection of that, sir?
No, sir, I don't, and I don't know what program that would be.
Well, thank you, sir. All I can do is review what's been provided to us.
Yes, sir.
Sir, did you have any prior arrests to this case?
Yes, DUI back home, and that's pretty much it. Oh, I got arrested one time for not having my fishing license on me. Other than that, that's only two I can think of.
Okay, I'm going to ask my fellow board members, do you have any questions for you? Yes, the Honorable Mr. Johnson.
So I just had, I know you said that you feel like you should be paroled because you were convicted innocently. Why do you say you were innocent?
Because that's what, it's on record.
No, I'm asking.
If you look my case
up, I'm asking you a question, sir. I'm asking you. Why do you say that you were innocent?
Because I am.
Okay, so why? Were you there? Did you take part? You were driving a van, the little girl was sick, or why do you say you were innocent? A child died and she was in your custody, so why do you say you were innocent? I'm just trying to understand that.
Because what they convicted me of, I was acquitted of causing any physical injuries to anybody.
Okay.
But the part I was convicted of was care or custody.
Okay. So, why were you innocent? I mean, there was a young child in your custody. She became sick. She's taken to the hospital. And subsequently died as a result of her treatment while under your care and her mother's care. So I'm trying to understand why you say you were innocent and then you did appeal it, and you were convicted of first degree murder and child abuse by intentionally or knowingly failing to seek medical attention under circumstances likely to produce death and serious physical injury. So I was just trying to say, you're saying that you were innocent. I was trying to understand why you say that you were innocent.
was acquitted of causing any physical injuries to anybody.
Okay.
And I had no rights to anything legal or, how do you say, or otherwise, the brother was present at all times. And a lot of times I wasn't there.
Okay, so...
This was proven in the court.
Okay, so that... The charge of failing to seek medical treatment under circumstances likely to reduce death to serious physical injury.
I was the one who got medical treatment in the first place.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further questions from both members? Yes, Your Honor, Dr. Wright.
Maybe I didn't hear Mr. Smith from what he said. You said back in Oklahoma, that's where your family is, back in Oklahoma, sir?
Yes, sir.
And you said that they were somewhere in some corner up there. What did you say? Where are they located, sir?
Southeast corner of Oklahoma, the Choctaw Nation.
And are you a part of that nation, sir?
Yes, I am.
And according to Ames, you were listed as a Caucasian, which is not a Native American. Which is correct, sir?
I am Native American. I was born in the Tallahena Indian Medical Center. My Choctaw membership number is 115326.
All of these years you never worked with the Department of Corrections in Arizona to make this correction, sir? I mean, it's not that important to me, but it just caught my interest that you are a Native American, yet as far as Ames is concerned in the state of Arizona, you're not listed that way, sir.
Okay, well, sir, the Ames has made a mistake because I am receiving my Native American religious documents, which was processed through Mr. Sabal at the time.
Okay, well, this is something that you would have to take up with Ames. I'm just looking at Ames. I was not there. I don't know one nation from another one that relates to you, but that just caught my interest, and so you might want to take this up with Ames at some point, so that the records could be adjusted if what you say is correct, sir. Okay, sir. Well, that was one of my concerns, and you... Okay, sir. But back to what Mr. Johnson was asking. Now, you already answered it, but I just want to ask it my way this time. So you are not guilty of any crime in the state of Arizona. Is that what you're telling this board, sir?
Sir, I've done nothing to warrant even being indicted. Except under the law, it says under the felony murder theory, because I was there, well, I wasn't there. I was totally somewhere else. And in the court documents, in Westlaw, in my case, I was acquitted of causing any physical injuries to anybody.
And you did appeal, but the court disagreed with you, sir. So as far as the court was concerned, you were at least... guilty of something in Arizona, but you're saying that you're guilty of nothing in Arizona. This is not a court of law here, therefore we cannot adjust anything, but I just want to make sure that I have an understanding. So from your perspective, you're not guilty of any crime in the state of Arizona, sir.
Correct.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
And I might mention the three appellate attorneys that took my case also failed me.
Oh, okay, sir.
Two of them were discharged because they were alcoholics and drug addicts.
Oh,
that's also my case.
Oh, okay, sir. Thank you so very much, sir. Thank you, Honorable Mr. Kawanis, for giving me this opportunity, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Dr. Wright. Any further questions? Okay, Mr. Smith, I did want to follow up on the offense in question myself. And I am glad that my colleagues asked some of these questions, but I respect that you stated that you're innocent of this crime, but Were you aware of any abuse towards this child before this child passed away?
No.
And was there's only reference by last name. Was the mother of the child Ms. Perry?
Yes. She had to be. She was with the child 24/7. Never left her sight.
And was she convicted as well?
Yes, sir.
Do you know what happened with her?
I have no idea.
That was more of a curiosity, but thank you. Okay, Mr. Perry, we're getting very close to the end of your case. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing. So, is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before we go into discussion and deliberate and vote on this case? Thank you, sir.
Well, I should mention that I've been fighting cancer since January 1, 2015, and that was on the side of my head. And then recently I've been diagnosed with throat cancer and lung cancer, and I have 6 to 12 treatments. I'm in my fourth treatment, going to my fifth treatment, and I've been told twice by Dr. Wharton I'm terminal. So I'm dying.
Okay, do understand, sir, that we have a mechanism, and these cases we hear pretty routinely before this board, where people make commutation applications when there's an imminent danger of death. So if you feel that you are within, or you in your position feel that you are within 4 months of end of life, to be tactful, we certainly encourage you to apply for an imminent danger of death commutation application. That was a tongue twister.
Okay.
That's certainly within your rights as an inmate inside the Department of Corrections. So is there anything else you would like to share, sir?
Well, I'd just like to go home to die, I guess, because that's all that's left for me.
Well, thank you, Mr. Smith. The board, let me double check. Do we have any supporters from Mr. Smith in the room today? Anyone from the victim's representative side that has anything to offer to the board? Okay, Mr. Smith, the board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you'll just remain on the phone and remain silent, you can listen in as the board will be going into discussion, and we'll come back shortly with a decision. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, first of all, I appreciate how direct Mr. Smith was with the board. I think we have a good summary of his case. I recognize that he's stating that he's innocent of this charge. I read in my initial summary as well as followed up just to make sure that it was on record that this case was appealed in the Superior Court of Pima County and the conviction was affirmed on July 1st, 1996. Although it also state that he had no, at least major, criminal history prior to the conviction. At stake here is a murder one, or murder in the first degree case, over the tragic death of a child. And it sounds like, although that's not what we're here for today, that there was another individual that was complicit in this crime. As I stated during discussion earlier, I take these cases in good faith. We're not here to retry the case. If there are any sort of miscarriages of justice, that is usually handled in the courts. My concerns are that he does have a history of discipline through 2016, which is always a concern as to whether an individual will adhere to their conditions of supervised release. And frankly, I'm skeptical of Mr. Smith's position that he's innocent of this crime. Again, I take the cases at face value. That's his position, and I certainly was not there. But all indications are that this case has been through the criminal justice system more than once, and he was found consistently guilty. I'm not hearing much in the way of remorse. Even on in the possibility that he was not involved, there was still the awful death of a child, and I'm just not hearing much from Mr. Smith regarding the victim. And that's where I begin the discussion.
I agree. I don't think there's much in terms of remorse from Mr. Smith either. I think I'm just not in agreement with granting him.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Yes, Mr. Neal.
I agree with you in your assessment of not hearing much in the way of the remorse. I don't understand his reasoning in saying that he was, it's in the court record and all this, that he didn't do anything, but I believe he was convicted because he was very present and there was enough evidence given that he should have known something was wrong and he should have sought medical attention for the young victim because he was there at least part of the time. But his insistence that he didn't do anything wrong, and like you say, there was no child died, and I just don't see him as a good candidate for release or anything at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that motion is regarding Mr. Billy Smith, ABC number 111396, to deny regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. And double check based on the year of the crime. I'm asking for a 1-year set off, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Agree.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, agreed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Johnson. Again, I ask for a 1-year set off. Release type denied is 412A, 411AJ, which is to say regular parole, absolute discharge, and home arrest. Reasons for denial: serious and violent offense, loss of human life. Serious and deeming offense, inasmuch that there was a concurrent child abuse case, trauma to the victim, age of the victim, serious bodily injury, poor institutional behavior, recent disciplinary infraction, check no family or community support. He stated that he has family and community support. He will be certified again to appear before this board, and I strongly encourage him to have family and community support at the next hearing. And I think those cover the reasons. Anything else that my colleagues wish to add?
Serious and deviant offense.
Yes, they did, sir.
Okay,
Mr. Smith. The board has unanimously denied regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. You will be certified to appear before this board again in approximately 1 year. We want to thank you for appearing before the board. We encourage you to stay safe inside the prison system. Let it be known that he slammed the phone down and walked away before we could finish. And so at this point, I want to thank my colleagues, and this will bring the hearing to a close. Thank you.